That was one. And except that I felt like the Lord showed me something. I had a little sudden meditation of the people that are in my life right now for where the Lord has placed me. And how do I really influence people to open up to God? And I saw the Lord like put this thing on me. You know how those singers wear that little microphone thing?
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't. It didn't do what a microphone does. Instead, it sprayed oil onto my lips, and I felt like I saw an angel over there with several of these things. That if we asked for them, the Lord would give us that, so that the words would be anointed that we speak instead of just go nowhere. Pray it out. Lord God, I just send more of these. Lord, we know we can't do anything without you, and our words fall to nothing. But your words, Lord, have spirit and life, and bring people to you, Lord, and release captives. And we need the oil, Lord. We need the anointing of your words, the word fitly spoken, Lord God, that we can give to those that are around us, Lord, that we can release your kingdom, that we can release people, that we can release them so that they can accept you, Lord, and come to eternity, Lord, life everlasting. Lord, we ask for your anointing that we can do your work. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Whew, wow, when I get home, I'm gonna go on Amazon.com and see if I can find one of those things, man. Woo!
An oil sprayer. Oh my goodness, it's harder to stand than I thought. I feel like the waiting. I feel like the weightiness in this room and the thickness almost that enters in when we reach that place of intimate worship is there's an invitation for that to never end. And it's not meant to be in a one location where we get to come and experience it once a week and say, oh, I can't wait for next week. That's meant to go with you and to be in you and to come out of you everywhere you go. And it's going to shift what it looks like in the different atmospheres you're in. But you're called to walk in that 24/7. And you're called to be a walking encounter with the light of the world. And that everyone who encounters you would say, well, I don't know what this is, but I feel something different. The other day at a choir of the fire, me and John were praying for these girls. And there was like four of them. And one of them was just looking at us. And we were praying for each of them. And we got to her and she said, before you pray for me, can I just say that there's like a light around you guys? And there's an aura of around you that I don't know what it is, but I can't stop looking at it. And I was like, that is exactly what each of us is supposed to walk in. We're supposed to be recognizable by people when we walk down the street. Oh, that's probably a Christian because they got joy all over them. There's light. There's peace. I feel a presence coming with them everywhere they go. I smell roses when they walk into the room because the presence of God comes. I mean, so the weightiness that you feel here is meant to be taken with you and experienced with you. So don't think that it, don't settle for just Sunday. Take it with you. Experience it all the time. And Dan, do that. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Woo. Okay.
The collection was a success. The clothes and the food that was donated was well received. And my personal prayer is that all who donated and prayed for that event receive a thousandfold return in Jesus' name. And from the bottom of my heart, I really thank everybody that helped out. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, John. Justin's going to share. It's not related to Choir of the Fire, but I'm going to allow him to come and share because it's something that I believe we all should hear as a congregation. And then he's going to introduce our Choir of the Fire testimony. So, Justin, all right, let's welcome Justin.
Yes, I will introduce the masses to come up once I'm done. We have an entire seating section over there. Let's see here. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, my girlfriend was here from California. She went through Bethel just like I did for 3 years. We were actually in the same class. She's now there finishing up her fourth year. And she came to visit, and she was telling me after church on Sunday about how impacted she was by the service and how everyone was so coming up to her and welcoming her and didn't know her, but she was here with me and my family, and so they were loving on her. And she actually told me something very significant. She said that she's never felt more at home in a church in her life. After being in Bethel for 4 years, she said that she's still, this is the only place that she's felt like she walked into a family instead of a church. And she was actually crying when she told me that. She said, I don't want to leave. I feel like I'm home when I was in that church. And so I just want to encourage you guys that the way that you love and the way that you invite people in is something rare. And I know I've sensed the loss when I've gone, when I've been away. And there are certain things that I'll say, oh man, I missed this part of the service where we do this. No one else does it. No one else blows a shofar, you know? And I feel the spiritual power behind that show every time it's blown. And I miss the guitar licks by Chris, you know? And no one else does that either. The list goes on. Everyone's smiling, everyone's hugging, everyone's shaking hands, and there's... So it really is a family here, and I think that is really what we're called to be as a church, not a company or an organization or a cold gathering where we worship separately, but a community that comes together to celebrate together and to enjoy each other's presence. So thank you very much for making an impact on her, and thank you very much for the way that you do life and the way that you do family. So I just wanted to share that. With that, welcome Choir of the Fire team. Come up here, everyone. Everybody who was there. We have pictures? Let me see. I didn't know this. This could be bad for me. This is going to be bad. Oh, no, not that picture. John was, everywhere John went, circles formed of people to hear him beatbox on a harmonica, beatbox on a recorder, and Cameron was playing his drum as well. And everywhere they went, people formed and started dancing and laughing, and they were just worshiping God everywhere they went. He carried the drum while they're walking around, and he probably has it with him right now. No, he doesn't. But and it opened up doors, as you can see, because people would come over to, and they'd be blessed by the music, and then there was ministry opportunities. Do you want to say anything about that, Cameron? Do you want to share anything about it?
That was a very eye-opening experience for me, how these people were so happy that we were there after we prayed for them, and they were, like, just overflowing with joy. And it showed me that anyone can do this. You just have to ask for it from God and believe. Like, it is so amazing what you can do. I don't even know how to put in words.
What do we want to? I guess we'll just scroll through the pictures and we'll explain them, and then that's Miss Pam. Let's stay on that one. We had several opportunities to walk around the city at lunch and at dinner, and we can go to the next one. That one is this was something supernatural that happened. In the middle of the service, everything went sideways. No. It was a powerful time. We had several opportunities, like I said, to go out onto the streets at lunch and at dinner. We had a couple hours. We'd go around and we did treasure hunts where we would ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us about a color or a name or an article of clothing. And then when we would find someone wearing that, we would say, hey, you're our treasure. We're looking for you all day. We're doing a treasure hunt. And they'd be blown away. So, I'm your treasure. I'm like, you're right. And then we get to pray for him. So we did treasure hunts a couple times. That was very fun. A lot of testimonies from that. More supernatural experiences. So this is just the worship.
Is that amazing?
Worship was powerful. We could barely hold the camera up. That's what it was.
We're drunk.
We can go a little bit, teeny bit faster than this. I think we have a lot too. So. There's our group. Some of our group. We actually got floor seating. It was very nice. Section B.
Thanks to Brenda going to the banquet with me.
The banquet. more of our youth.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I felt like this year we had more unity, and thank you for praying. The kids really loved one another, and Brenda and I got together with the kids and talked about not being excluded, and that really the way you feel loved is the way you include one another, and our kids did amazing. We had 40-some people. We had a bus this time. They were always singing, and I think people also were drawn to us because there was so much unity in the way our group was, right, Danielle? Anyway, here.
Oh, that's the afters. Woo!
Yes, the afters. I didn't actually get to hear him.
Oh.
We and John missed him because we were out in the hallway praying.
I love that.
But, you know, just what we do.
So,
I mean, there was...
They're amazing.
They were amazing. We ate in Hopkins Plaza. This is the fountain. We didn't have any drinks, so we actually decided to... not drink. No, we just went without drinking.
We
drank a little bit from the fountain. there was a group next to us that was all orange. It was funny. There was some more acrobatics by Julian. He was showing off a little bit. I think we're getting close to the terrible picture of the day. But when we were having lunch, there was tons of opportunities to pray. We'll share those stories as soon as we just kind of get through the pictures here. So you guys took a lot of pictures. Looking good, Jordan. Where's Jordan? Yeah, the strange thing, they had the chairs chained to the tables, and you couldn't really sit in them because they were chained so closely. So, yeah.
That helped with the unity, too.
That helped with the unity.
Give Brenda a hand. She did the organization.
Yes, Brenda. And Rick.
Okay, I have to say one thing.
Rick went and got the drink.
Brenda's the only organized person that I don't drive crazy. That's why I work with her. Most organized people, I drive them crazy with all my spontaneity. We're a good match. Okay, here.
Oh, Brenda.
Look at that.
Thank the Lord
for that picture. Wow. Dangerous. Jumped over the table. Where did all of these come from? I don't remember any of these happening or being taken. Yeah. We played Ninja.
It's a prophetic game.
So that is them playing Ninja, trying to get the other person out. When should we share the testimonies? How many? Do you know how many four photos there are? These are a lot of photos.
They're fun, though, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah,
they are.
He just doesn't want his to come up.
It's look at that.
John and Bruce. Oh.
John and Bruce had a lot of fun together.
I'm drunk.
John's drunk.
And Bruce is holding him up.
That is. Our new promotional. This is our new advert commercial for next year. Yeah. Yeah.
Just the Statue of Liberty is a female.
So that was the big picture. And then there was this one.
Testosterone.
But no, we had tons of opportunities to pray. Everywhere we were going, there was people who we were feeling led to pray for. Even in this plaza here, just down the street, there was a family sitting on a bench.
a little bit of idol worship, but we're praying with them for it.
I just had to get into the picture somehow. Wow. He's really tall compared to him. Unless he's jumping.
No, he's on my shoulder.
Oh, he's standing on Pam's back. And we're back to the beginning. Okay. So, all right. That was the camera roll. Who has some testimonies that they want to share? I know me and John have 200, but we want to give the kids opportunities to share things that impacted you or things that happened to you.
Some of the kids are going to also talk a little bit about some of the things that God's been doing through the prayer meetings and back there. Maddie, can you come up? I'd love to have you today. Just be up here because we love this girl. And anybody else that wants to come up who's been doing stuff.
All right, so the one big thing that happened for me was when during this lunchtime we prayed over, I think it was Grace Community.
Community Gospel
in Pasadena. We prayed over the youth group that was there. And it was really great. We were prophesying over them, kind of. Like, I don't know why, but two of the people looked so familiar. Anyway, let's see. I got this thing because I was praying, like, okay, God, if there's something for one of these people for me to tell them or to help one with, just tell me right now. And then the husband leader, was like, hey, I think God's told me to tell you that you need to prophesy over some of our girls. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll pray about that. I take about 10 minutes to sit there, just, you know, waiting for it. Any day, you know. Still here. You know, just, you know, take your time. Anyway, finally get it. I couldn't tell which girl, but I said after they were done praying over all the guys, there were like five girls there or something like that.
Five, yeah.
I was like, okay, I don't know which one of these girls, but one of you has been going through a lot of bullying lately. And then all of a sudden, five hands.
All pointed to the girl.
And then she's like really surprised, like, how did you know?
Wait a minute. Went through a lot of
bullying.
Bullying. Bullying. Yeah, at school.
I thought you said
bullying. Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then I also said something like, you've been really depressed lately, maybe a couple suicidal thoughts. And she's like, yep, that's me, right here. And then I was like, okay, well, God's telling me to tell you, you know, it's going to be all right. You need to get through it. Don't think of what other people tell you because it's not right. God has a plan for you. What he wants for you, I'm trying to remember. What he wants for you is what is right for you. That is your destiny. And your destiny is true to you and you only. And no one can tell you anything else other than that.
She was crying. She, as soon as he started prophesying over to her, she turned around because she actually was crying and didn't want anyone to see her crying. And then we, I said, come here. So me and Cameron, we continued ministering to her, but basically just saying, you know, the identity, where you should get your identity is from what God says about you and not what people say. And we started, I started edifying her, you know, just you're valuable, things like that. And she was weeping. And then before that, John had gotten words for two of the guys and the pastor and the pastor's wife, or the youth minister and the youth minister's wife, and they kept going, what? Who are you? Like, and at the end of the whole thing, one of the girls says, why do you have superpowers?
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny. We had to explain what was going on because literally John was flowing so much in the Holy Spirit. He was nailing these people with like what their destiny is, what they're called to, what they're going through. He said, we were eating. He said, we got to go talk to this family. I feel like something we need to say to them. I was like, okay. So we went and he said, there's something about reconciliation going on. And apparently there was a split in the church that they were currently going through. And the woman immediately goes, you were sent here by God today. And she started like, prophesy over him. Now prophesy over him. And she was like releasing and prophesy over the kids. And the kids at first were kind of like, I don't know what's going on. But when we started calling out, like giving them identity by their name and giving them destiny and telling them what they like. And I told one kid, you've been having dreams. And he like snaps up. He's like, I've been having dreams. I never have dreams, but I've been having dreams. And I was like, the Holy Spirit was flowing. And we were getting all these kids. And by the end, they were all like, what is this? We want more of this. And they were asking questions. And that happened everywhere we went. Like it was just, Holy Spirit was really moving. Like there was a fire was there. I mean, we acquired it.
acquired the fire.
But no, John. Yeah, John. Why don't you or other kids? Who else has a?
You want to talk about Starbucks?
Who has a testimony that they want to share?
Let's get Bethany. I'm just gonna pick one.
Hi, I'm Bethany. I'm Miss Pam's friend and
Sharon's friend.
Yeah,
Chris.
Hi. So I actually had a really great blessing having a really great blessing of going to the Choir of the Fire. It was my first year going. So praise the Lord for that. while I was there, the first night, I was just getting filled, honestly, just like being filled, because I was reading through John recently, just thinking about how Jesus filled the pots of with water and he turned them to wine, but he didn't just fill them, he overflowed them.
Yeah.
And it was just, that was just me the first night. And so the second day, I was like, God, can you just give me a word? Can you just give me a word? So as I was up in the praise and worship service there, I was sitting there and I felt the Spirit, and he was like, take your arm and put your arm around the girl next to you. I was like, I don't know who she is, God. I mean, I feel very uncomfortable right now. I was like, God, please. And he's like, you got to do it. Come on. You want this word. Come on. So I just took my arm and I just put it around her, and I just felt released. Like, just like God just flowing through me, and I just began to weep. And the girl was like, are you okay? And I said, yes, I'm fine. I said, I just needed to tell you that the Spirit right now just told me to wrap my arm around you, mm-hmm. and that God loves you. And as we were, like, ministering on the streets, like, I was just really praying that God would just, like, I would just feel, like, the people around me and what they needed. And there was a lot of people that were, like, obviously under the influence of drugs there. And there was a group of people, and there was, like, three of them, and their names were Billy, Heidi, and Jeannie. And they were, you know, under the influence at the time. And I was just sitting there, and I was, like, I was like, do you mind if I pray over you? I said, is there anything specific that I can pray with you about? And Heidi was like, my relationship with my daughter is no good. And I said, you know what, I'm going to pray for that. So I just began to pray. And then the word love came to me. And I just felt overwhelmed again. And I began to cry again, because I was just like, God, you love these people. No matter how brokenness, you love us in our brokenness. And that's when we shine brightest, I believe, is when you can pick us up from that. So.
Aren't we glad we have her now? And actually, she's Brenda's niece. And here's Brenda. I'm not going to make everybody if you don't want to. Okay, Brenda wants to go later. Kristen? Okay, Danielle, I'll get you John in there.
Sure. How are all you guys doing today? I wish all of you guys could have been there, because it was a really incredible experience. Before I went to Acquire the Fire, I was, you know, a bunch of questions were just stacking up in my pocket, you know? They're just getting so big. I'm like, Lord, I haven't gotten the answers that I needed, I need yet. So when I went, just the worship in the beginning, I was like, Lord, I really don't feel like worshiping right now. I feel like the band's okay, but they're not awesome yet. But he just said, Danielle, you got to give your heart to me, and I will give you that spirit of worship. And I'm like, God, come on. I don't feel like sitting here raising my hand, jumping up and down. But he's like, Danielle, just change your mindset to focus on me only, and you'll be fine. And so I did, and it was just like huge switch. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. And then they started talking about, like, authenticity of the Bible, because I've been talking to a lot of people that I come in contact with, and I'm telling them about Jesus. But they don't want to hear it because they don't believe that the Bible is true. You know, it's just man-made. How can something written, 2,000 years ago, how can that be true with all of these? But then, like, they gave facts. And so now I have things to tell people when I come in contact, and they have that mindset. And then kind of like Bethany, there was a girl when we were down, they had an altar call. And I just went, and we knelt down, and there was this girl in front of me. Mm-hmm. She was just sitting there kind of crying, and I was like, you know, maybe I should put my hand on her. So it was the Holy Spirit, and I put my hand on her, and later on that, like when the worship part was over, she turned to me and she said, I was praying to God to ask him that somebody would just lay their hands on me. And I did, and she just wept harder. And so then after that, there was ministry on the street, and we're just, you know how Jesus told the disciples that if anybody rejects you, just shake the dirt off your shoes and walk away. And so I was just going around with four of our friends, you know, at Acquire the Fire, and I would ask people, is there anything you need to be prayed over? And some people would be like, oh, no, thank you. And this one guy went skipping up to him, and he's like, I said, is there anything I can ask you? And he's like, you can ask me, but far away. Like, he got really, like, offensive, and I was like, oopsie doops, I'm gonna back up. Maybe I shouldn't be so peppy in people's faces. But so a lot of people rejected the request for prayer, but a lot of people said yes. And there was this one guy, I think Lynyrd, like Lynyrd Skynyrd, his name's Lynyrd, and he sat on the he sat on the step, and we started praying for him. And after we were done, he's like, "This was no accident." And he was crying. He's like, "This was from God." And I was like, "Amen, brother, amen." And then there's this other guy named George that John had prayed for, and I didn't know it. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Well, I have already been prayed for." And I was like, "Psh, so more in abundance, you know, God wants to bless you." So after that, I prayed over him, and he was just like the sweetest guy ever. And then he went back and talked to a couple guys over there. And it was just overall the experience and the fellowship and just the God experience, because his spirit is so thick and heavy on everybody there. And it really depended on where your heart was when you went, because if you weren't really, if you didn't have those answers and you weren't seeking God there, you didn't really, you weren't touched. But for all the people that were really in that spot of yearning and looking for the Lord, they found him that night, I think. Anybody else?
Can you guys, some of you that have spoken, just go on down that way so we can have the other people. Ben, come on over here. And then Jordan, come on.
All right, well, my name is Ben, for those of you who don't know me. Everything during Acquire the Fire was awesome. Everything from hanging out with friends, meeting new people, and becoming, like, best friends with everybody. And seeing, like, on the bus ride down there, there were not many, but a few people who were quiet, not very... They didn't really know many people there, and they like were quiet the whole bus ride down. And then by the time we came back on the last bus ride, they were like laughing and singing out loud, and they're like best friends with everybody. So that was really cool. Mm-hmm. I think like while we were doing like the we called it like a Starbucks evangelism trip, it really was just an excuse to go to Starbucks, but. but we made a whole thing out of it, so. We got to Starbucks eventually, but on the way we were like evangelizing to people the whole time, and so like I wasn't really sure, like I was like, yeah, this is a cool idea, and then I wasn't really confident enough like to go up to anybody at first, but up until like by the time we were almost back, I saw this one guy, and so I went up to him and kind of connected with him, because he's a cook, and he said he was laid off, and then he lost his apartment, and so now he's homeless, and he said the only thing that he's been holding on to was God. That was his only thing. He was raised Catholic, and so we prayed with him, and then another lady came up, I also from Acquire the Fire, and she wanted to pray with him also. Katrina came up also, and we were just all praying over him together, and he was a really nice guy, and just a few people that I ran into on the streets praying for. And the last night during worship was just amazing. The last band, the whole like worship time was awesome.
It was.
And there were people, like there was this lady behind me who just like broke out in like crying. And at first I was just like, okay, she's being moved by the Spirit. That's pretty cool. And then I just felt like I had to get up and like just lay hands on her, and then other people came up also, and so like we were just like, she was just like, it was like happy tears, like she was just like bursting out in like tears of like joy, and so like we're praying over her. And then later on during worship that night, I just like didn't want to just like be near my seats anymore, and it was too crowded and hot up front, so I went to the back. I'm looking around, and there's like this big open area. People are more like spread out. So I'm looking back there. I'm like, all right, I'm supposed to pray with somebody. Who am I supposed to pray with? Looking around, I'm like, that person. I see this girl down there. Just I felt like I was like that was the person I was supposed to go to. So went with her and just laid my hand on her back and started praying. And I didn't know what to say. I was like, okay, so. I see who I'm supposed to pray with, but I don't know what to say. And then words just started coming out of my mouth, and I just kept going on and on. And I wasn't just like, God is good, God is great. I was like enthusiastic, like I knew like what I was talking about. And yeah! And
it was a Starbucks.
I don't drink coffee.
I'm joking.
But And then, like, one of the things I said, like, what's something on your heart that I'm supposed to pray for you for? And like, she didn't know at first. And then she's like, well, fear is in my heart. And that's one of the things that, like, that's been big with me lately, like praying with other people about when the Columbia Mall shooting happened a week later when I organized a big prayer event there. One of the things I prayed with everybody there was about fear not getting into people's heart, and that fear wouldn't overcome everybody, and that fear wouldn't stop people from going out in public and enjoying life. And so I prayed with her about fear and just to enjoy life, and that fear wouldn't take control. And so, I mean, that worship was just amazing, and everything was just really great. So that was my experience.
I'm Jonathan.
And then, if you want to, can we just move, split places?
Jonathan! Woo-hoo!
Hey. Hi, everybody. Well, this is my second Acquire the Fire that I went to. The Starbucks trip. that was a real experience. At first, when we split into groups, I was like, all right, we're going to Starbucks. It's going to be just a normal trip. But then we started to go on to the what Justin said as a treasure hunt and finding people that the Holy Spirit wanted us to pray about and pray over. And I really was lost. I had no clue how to do any of that. So, like, it was, like, the third or fourth person that we encountered. Justin was like, all right, Jonathan, it's your turn. Just go up there and talk to him. And I was like, the guy was in a group of people. I was like, which one? And Justin was like, it was the guy with the plaid shirt. So I just went up to him. I was like, sir, I'm not sure exactly why I'm talking to you right now, but I just wanted to let you know that God loves you and that you're just his creation, and that it's just great. It's great. And he was like, he told us that he was a visionary, and he said that everyone in that group that we were with was going to be successful, and he said that you don't encounter a group of people that had all of their names come from the Bible. Like, it was like just like everyone there, then at the end, we, like, him and his buddy, we gave him all a group hug. It was just love.
Amen. It's awesome. Okay, Noel? Okay, Jordan, you're going to be on the mic.
Phew. All right, this is my, like, second time holding a microphone, so yay! One big thing for me was, like, I've never went on the streets and just, like, hey, I want to pray for you. Like, so that was really, really scary for me. I was like, oh, no. But so we went, and Justin was just like, you know, let's just pray about, like, have someone come to us. And I was like, it's a great idea. So I was just like, I saw, like, dreadlocks and, like, glasses, and I was like, that's weird. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just say it. So I told Justin, and, like, we're just like, all right, let's walk this way. So we're, like, walking, and this girl with dreadlocks, she's a girl, and glasses. And Justin was like, hey, you! And she was like, whoa, hey, and she's just like, we've been looking for you, and she just, big smile, like, a little scared, but big smile, like, yay. We got to, like, kind of, like, say God loves her, and that was great, and, you know, I've always been kind of, like, embarrassed, like, to, like, raise my hands in church, like, oh, what if people look at me, oh, no, and, like, praying, like, it's always been weird, like, you know, God's presence, yeah, all right, like, how would God use me, and we were, like, worshiping, and I was, like, not feeling it, and I just prayed for God, like, just let me feel this. Like, I want this so bad. And people were just raising their hands, and I was just, like, I could raise my hands and be free, like, yeah, for once. And I could just feel peace and love and joy. And there was this girl, she was just weeping, and like she accepted the Lord. And there were these men that were just like praying over people. And it just like really showed me that there's nothing to be embarrassed about, and you can just pray and love and have joy. So that was really good.
Abby?
So during the Starbucks ministry where we were like asking for words from God, I was in the same group as Noelle, and I've done treasure hunts before, but I always hate like saying things that like when I think I hear something from God, because I just hate being wrong about it. And so I was getting the color yellow, and I think someone else got a red shirt. And someone got bricks. And as we're walking, I look over and I see this guy, and he's working and he's like cleaning up trash as his job, and he's wearing like a uniform red shirt and the trash bag is yellow. Wow. So, but I didn't say anything because I didn't want to. I'm like, I'm going to be wrong about this. So we kept walking and I'm like looking back. I'm like, should we be praying for that person? So we kept going. And then we ended up turning around and, like, coming back. And I'm like, okay, this time I'm going to say something. He's still there. And he's, like, sweeping up trash off the bricks. So I say something, and Justin goes, why didn't you say that earlier? I was thinking the same thing. And so we ended up going up to him and praying for him. And then we asked if he had any pain in his body, and he said he had this pain in his hand. So, and when we prayed for him, like, for, like, 30 seconds, he was like, all the pain is gone. And, yeah. Yeah, it was just a cool experience, so.
Amen. All right. Okay, finish it.
He was sitting, he was, at when we first saw him, he was cleaning up trash, and then when we were coming back, he was sitting on like a corner of a bench or something, or like a cinder block circle square thing around a tree or something. He was sitting on it, and he just was looking at the ground. He wasn't doing anything. He was just, you know, he was having a bad day or waiting for us, I guess. But it was just, you could tell he wasn't having a good day. And then when we left, when we were walking away, he was standing up. He was like holding his broom and like looking around smiling. He wasn't cleaning trash. He's like, he didn't know what to do. He was just smiling. He was just, like, looking around, like, his whole day had been changed. I think his heart was changed because we were after he was healed, we said, Jesus healed you. Like, and so he was thanking Jesus at the end. So that it was totally changed his demeanor, so.
Okay, we don't have a lot of other time, but Julian, did you want to say something? Or you want to save it? Do you want? And then we'll have Jordan. And if anybody else really feels pressing, we'll just.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Alright, so going into this, to be honest, some of myself here, I didn't actually really want to, I wasn't really prepared for it, and I didn't feel like I should be there, to be honest. But when I got there, when we got to the church, I opened my mind to going again. And experienced it because it's been a long winter, and I had our church broke up, and I hadn't been going to church for a little bit. So, getting back into it now, it was a great experience. The worship was good, and I feel like God kind of just showed me that I've accepted Him into my heart, but I never gave him my mind to control. So, that's something that I've been slowly giving up and giving up the things in my life that I can't do anymore, and. And the other thing that was awesome about it is just seeing, like, John and Justin, all them running around praying for people. And that's something I've never done, and I've been a Christian for so long. And it's just like, how come I haven't done that? Like, all these people need what we know, and we're held back from doing it for no reason. And also just seeing Danielle running around doing what they were doing like it was no problem was amazing to see. And Jordan and Noelle and everybody else just getting along and having a good time. And It was just amazing. So,
I appreciate it. I'm going to have Jordan. Come on up, Jordan. He's going to share. And we're going to have a little bit of ministry. If you want to stay a little bit longer for that, I feel like what he has to share and something that happened with John and Justin is really prophetic for this time.
Pam is my neighbor, and she's been trying to get me to go to church functions and things like this. So I'm going to mention the prayer meeting first, then go to the choir of the fire. I love you so much. She was, I was doing something. Oh, I was supposed to go. I got a new farm job, and I was supposed to go there, but she had other plans last minute, and I had to cancel, so I went to the prayer meeting. So that was God right there. And as I got there, they were all worshiping, sorry, and they were very, very excited about God. And I was just sitting here and just, you know, quiet in the corner, just back and forth and singing. So I wasn't really feeling it. And then someone else mentioned they weren't feeling anything either. So Ilkin's here. It's Ilkin. Ilkin stood up and said that he wasn't feeling the Holy Spirit in him. And I just stood up and was like, I'm not either. And so they stopped and they prayed over Ilkin. And then they got to me and I started shivering. And just like shivering from my head to my toe. And I couldn't even focus because I'm sitting here like, why am I shivering, God? It seems really inappropriate because they are praying, stop this now. And
this church doesn't believe in this kind of stuff. So I thought I was going to get in trouble again.
I'm just shivering and I'm like, am I cold? I felt my head. I'm sweating. And so I said, I'm going to try and ignore it and hope that God stops this. So, but then I just started, as I'm shivering, I just started praying and praying and praying. And God opened up, just opened up a bridge. And someone else, I don't remember who it was, someone else said something. And they said, I just feel a dam being broken and water flowing. And immediately I just thought that dam is being broken in me. That's what the shivering was an earthquake breaking the dam and the water is flowing. Oh, and the tongues. So after that, this loving neighbor of mine, I've never heard tongues before, so this is new. And she says, do you want to speak tongues? And so we pray, and like, Lord, give him the gift, and I started speaking. And I was speaking when I got home, and I'm laying in bed just speaking and speaking. Because I felt God so much that night, I was just like, I can't stop. But so I'm speaking, and she had told me a story of how someone had interpreted your tongues.
Right, Bakataya.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Divine wind.
So I thought, why don't I try my good friend Google Translate, and Google Translate some two or three. So I'm playing around on Google Translate, trying to remember what I was saying. And one was Basha and Lama. Lama, everyone knows, is Tibetan for chief priest. But I'll talk to you later about that one. But also, it was Basha, which means sir or lord in Arabic.
Yeah.
Never heard that word before in my life. So, yeah, that was really powerful. But also, there's something really powerful happened at Acquire the Fire. Everything seemed to happen on the Starbucks trip. We're on the Starbucks trip, and there's this man sitting here alone. He's got white hair, and he's just sitting there alone in Dunkin' Donuts. So I talk to Katrina, I tap her and say, let's go in here and talk to this guy, because I feel like something's leading me to talk to him. We go in there. It turns out he is a youth leader for his church, but also he had a type of incurable asthma that the body, his lungs are patching up holes in his lungs, so his heart makes it hard for him to breathe. And that they're saying that it's a life-threatening disease, and they're saying that he may die in the next few months and years in his life. So I was just like, okay, we need to pray. Like, let's throw some prayer down right now. And so we pray. So, and he's just like, he's a very powerful, he and his wife are, they go to the prisons and minister to prisoners. So I just ask that we lift up him in prayer. I forget his name, but he's a very powerful man. That just lasting on my heart that I was led to him. Yeah. Afterwards, we went outside of Dunkin' Donuts and prayed over him again, because I was like, Katrina, we need to stop. I can't. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it.
That's it. Praise God. Okay. If anybody has Sarah.
Okay. So it was the last night. We were up at the it was Noelle and Lily and I, and I. You know, whenever there's, like, the crowd at the front, you always just get, like, pushed around everywhere. And so I had been, like, pushed up right at the front. And they started singing the song Break Every Chain. And so I was like, singing it. And then I, like, stopped singing it because my voice was, like, it was just gone. And I couldn't really sing anymore. And at that moment, I, like, just heard everyone else singing it. And I just, like, felt the presence of God, like all those teenagers singing, like, Break Every Chain, and it was, like, so powerful. And then a little bit later, they were singing another song, I don't remember what it was, and so then we, like, a bunch of the girls standing near me, we were kneeling on the floor, and I started crying, and this girl, like, put her hand on me, and then I felt that God told me to put my hand on a girl next to me. So it was kind of like a chain. And then later I was talking to the girl and she was crying and she told me that she accepted the Lord that night. And it was just awesome.
Brenda has a quick thing and then I'm going to have John.
Well, I just wanted to say, after going for 7 years now, maybe 8 years or 20, it's amazing to me how I've seen the crowds just went dwindle. We're living in a sign of the times. I mean, it was just packed. You couldn't even get in a choir of the fire years ago. And now, you know, huge areas are all empty. And you can tell, you know, even with Ron Luce, those of us that love Ron Luce, you know, he's really cut back on the financial piece. You know, we don't get the booklets anymore and all the study guides. And you can tell that we're living in the sign of the times, that this is really, the remnant is here. Whoa. Because I've never seen any kids like this at an Acquire the Fire. I mean, everywhere we were walking, there are pods of praying. We're going out now. We're going to go do this. And God is, though the crowds are dwindling, these kids are raising up as the remnant. So powerful to watch. So I just want to say, you know, Ron said to us yesterday in the talk, the whole talk is usually about purity and teenage stuff. This was all about defending the Bible. But the most beautiful part, and what we believe, but the most beautiful part to me was, you know, he just talked about not defending ourselves anymore, just being the joy. And they're running around so joyful all over the city. You could see everybody looking at mostly at our group. I'm sure it was other groups, but just watching everybody just see the joy in them, skipping like all of them were doing in the blocks. And Ron said, you know, I don't hear it as God saying, or as Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I hear it more like this: I'm the only one that's coming for you. And when I heard that, I started looking at these kids, you know, going out in the city. They're telling everybody, he's the only one that's coming for you. It's so powerful. So I'm just asking for your prayers. Lift them up, because this is really, the world is coming against them, coming against us. But our young people, they need your prayers. So please just lift them up.
John? John, you want to share? And then we'll share.
Yeah, I just want to confirm that. That's why I wore this shirt today, The Remnant. This is just with talks about just Joshua generation. I literally was going to say everything that you just said. So obviously the Holy Spirit is flowing here right now, and that's why that would be awesome to have time of ministry. This group obviously was not the type of group that would wear the stranger danger whistle. We would be the stranger, stay here so the Holy Spirit can smack you in the face. All right? That's the kind of group that we were. And I just want to say this totally is the remnant. The thing is the disciples were about their ages. But many historians said it was 18. Maybe the oldest disciple was like 24 or 26, and that was Peter. And like that is what's happening right now with the dwindling of how many people are coming to these revivals. It's the remnant, the fraction of God's people is where it's raising up a generation that is seeking His face, that is saying yes to double portion and no to double standards. A generation that is just yearning and aching for more and more. And that there's just like. Yeah, just like this Josh generation that's coming back to take the land back, take new authority. And I just realized there was just so much doubt in who people were and their identities. I remember there was this girl that was talking about the walls that she built up in her heart. And she was kind of, you know, googly-eyeing whatever, you know, me from afar. And me and Justin went over, and I felt like God just told me to share my story of just physical abuse and sexual abuse, and when I had built up walls in my heart, and the Lord uses really strategically so that Justin was really able to bring in that deep emotional ministry that happened, because it would have been different if I had done it. And like just how the Holy Spirit is just very strategic, and just you see these walls of doubt just being broken down and people being affirmed as in their identity. I mean, there's another kid that said, I just got off juvenile delinquent system. And I was able to minister to him. I was like, dude, I've got kicked out of every high school I've ever been to, man. So I know what you're going through. And like, just you could just see the light in people's eyes open and saying, yes. So you could see the hope. You could see hope birthed, like a baby being born from the womb. There's those moans and groans that the bridegroom is speaking over this generation. How deep. Even words cannot express the moans and groans that the bridegroom is speaking over his bride right now. He's going, oh! He is just moaning for a generation that is going to rise up for righteousness, the remnant oaks of righteousness that are going to stand up in this place. And when I see these young people, I was just at a loss for words coming home, because I could just not imagine just what is going on in their lives and all the people that were deeply impacted. There was a girl with three ligaments that were torn. She had a huge cast, and we were praying over the healing, and she started to doubt at first, and you'd be like, just move it a little bit, and she starts moving it, like move it more, and it starts moving more, and then she starts hopping on it. And that's this generation. We have torn ligaments, we have a torn heart, we have a torn apart heart, we're broken, we're depressed, we're suicidal, we're broken, and we have torn ligaments in our heart. And the Lord is saying, trust me a little bit. Just swing it a little bit. Swing it a little bit. Now start hopping on it. Start hopping on it. And this generation is going to start hopping on their legs. And they're going to trust in Yeshua HaMashiach. They're going to believe that they can do great and marvelous things. And there's just so many other testimonies that are happening that just went through people's lives. And people just started to believe in their identity. And yes, there were people walking around. It's just like, yeah, man, I got like 20 numbers or something like that. And I'm just like, man, that's not going to satisfy you. Here's the acceptance. And people are yearning for this acceptance and this love, and we run to the fabricated love. And what just was being spoken and over prophesied over people is just that their identity is rising up as the remnant oaks of righteousness that are standing up. And there's also the officers too. We went over to talk to these officers, and they were blown away. We had you know, prophecy over them that one of them had seen death and was dealing with that burden in his heart, and his feet hurt. He prayed over his feet. His feet didn't hurt anymore. We had another word for the other cop was that he was a spiritual Mr. Olympia, and just how he's just also a defender of the community, but also a spiritual defender. And then there was one of the other band members, David. Justin was prophesying over him about how he's just got a heart of David. and his just spirit of excellence and what's happening and how he's just going to take his band to other nations and maybe even third world countries. And we were talking about don't worry about the money and how you're going to fund maybe going to countries with less money and aren't going to be able to sponsor you as much, but just having that trust, living by faith. And even now, just as I'm about to step into full-time missionaries and whatever, you know, those things that are happening financially, it's just seeing how the Lord is providing for this. So many times we have this fear that even stops us from just going up and saying the simple Jesus loves you, and then a fear from saying I can't go into the mission fields, I don't have enough money and it's not a good time and I'm trying to retire and all these things, and the Lord's just saying just trust me, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And it's just like, just there's just so many incredible stories. And there's also, yeah, just I see a Joshua generation rising up to take back the land.
So last thing, and then whoa. The last thing I want to share so you can pray, but what are you saying about the brokenness? One night we did a prayer meeting and different people were, I hear this all the time, even at our school, kids come to me, they say they're cutting, they've tried to commit suicide, and I have to be the one to tell parents. And then I'm having all these kids saying they were molested, and it's a lot of them, it's more than we know. And some of them, and then one night Justin and I prayed with a couple guys and they couldn't feel God, and they said there were blocks, and it's always, and they say, well, we say, is it sexual? Yes, I've been addicted to pornography and masturbation. And then another kid same night says, I haven't experienced the Lord in years. Why? Because as a young kid, he was bullied at our school, at one of the school Christian schools, and got lonely, and he started masturbating and pornography. Nobody knew. And so we pray over him. We break the shame. We broke those lies. And all of a sudden, he started laughing. Well, the people at the choir fire weren't used to this because we were all on the floor laughing and kind of rolling around. And Bruce said people were really looking at us. And one guy said, I think somebody said you're not supposed to be laughing. I don't know. But didn't make. Yeah, we were a little loud. But not me. But yeah. Anyway, but the laughter, I felt like, I got to say this, the laughter is, we're laughing at what the enemy's doing, because what the enemy is doing, it's not going to work, because there's no more shame. This generation, our generation may have been abused sexually, but we didn't say it. We covered it up with religion, but this generation is saying, we're going to stand. And when John tells his testimony, other kids say, I did too, and I'm breaking the shame. And then we're coming out, and what was in the darkness is now in the light, so it's broken. So we're having a generation that's raising a standard, and there's going to be healing, and there's going to be a revival, and there's going to be a place where the prodigals can run and they will not be judged. So praise Jesus. I had to say that. And thank you for your prayers.
Thank you. Amen. Wow. Whew. I think, yeah, there's a couple of things I want to do. First, I think we need to... as she's falling down, I think we need to honor Pam. Let's just show her honor. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. And the other thing we're going to do, I want us to be praying for these people, but I don't want us all to pray for them today, all right? Because I know you as adults love to do that, but I want them to pray for us, okay? That's what we need. We need to humble ourselves and allow them to pray for us, to allow them to give us the fire that they've received this weekend. Yes. All right. So while they're praying for Pam, I'm just going to join with them here. Why don't you join with me? Father, we just thank you for our dear sister Pam, for her husband Bruce, for her family, for her children, for her mom and dad, for her extended family. Lord, we just pray right now in Jesus' name that you'd bless her, Lord. Bless her. Bless her. Bless her. Bless her. Bless her, Lord. Bless her, Lord. May she feel your blessing, your honor, your recognition of her as a woman of God, your delight in her as a daughter of God, and your delight in her as someone who is in pursuit of you and desirous to do that which is your will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all these young people who went to acquire the fire, Lord, and all the lives they'll be touching in the days and weeks ahead. And I know there are many people here that other young people have been in the past that have also acquired this fire. And for that, too, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, for all my brothers and sisters here this morning.